Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Galvanize and Restore podcast. I am your host, Jessica Concepcion. And today we have a special guest coming all the way from Idaho. Welcome, Kathy Wilson, representing a beautiful organization called New Day for Children. Kathy has been with New Day since its beginning 14 years ago, married to a pastor with three grown sons and two grandkids, having lived in California, Washington, Chicago, Alaska, and now Idaho. She has taught elementary and middle school prior to New Day, loves reading, traveling, movies, chocolate, and Mexican food. Welcome to the podcast, Kathy.
Thank you, Jessica. It's so great to be with you.
And before we dive into the content of today, Kathy, I would love to break the ice with a question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So if you could have a superpower for one day, what would it be?
That's a hard one. Maybe being able to walk on water.
Ooh, like Jesus. That's fun. I love that. It sounds really relaxing. And it sounds very adventurous too.
Yeah.
So, we already talked a little bit about which organization, right, that you're a part of, New Day for Children. Could you please share with us, what this amazing organization has been doing and how did they get started?
Sure. So, as you said, we've been around for 14 years. We started from the Bay Area in California, but we're not site specific to that place because we do long-term housing and restorative care, education, therapy for American children who have been sexually trafficked. So our target age is 10 to 18, but this last year we actually had a baby. Unfortunately, this happens to all ages. And so it was a baby referred to us, and the state didn't, the only options that the family had, it was a loving family that this happened to their child, was to relinquish custody of their child, and then the state would take over and provide options. And unfortunately, there are many parents that get told that if their child very traumatized and they don't have financial resources, the only way that we can pay for anything is if, you know, the child is in our custody, if you relinquish your rights, which is a terrible option.
That's, for parents and, to have. And the parents, I only thought that happened if like there was any sort of connection with abuse with the parents.
Yeah, no, it doesn't, because part of the starting of New Day was when we realized that there is a need to come alongside American families. This has become epidemic around the world, including in our own country, the selling of children for sex. So it's one component of, you know, modern day slavery, human trafficking. And there are very few resources in this country for children that have been traumatized in this way. We're really behind the eight ball in providing services for them. And so if a family finds out that this has happened to their son or daughter, unless they're very wealthy, they look into long-term, you know, restorative therapeutic programs, and there's just no way they can afford them. They're exorbitantly expensive. And so people are kind of left to fend for themselves. And for a lot of families, even regular therapy, the cost is too prohibitive just to take their child, you know, to a counselor once or twice a week. So we just really felt like, you know, all kids deserve rehabilitation and the trauma that's associated with being trafficked for sex, the trauma that these kids go through, the amount of work that needs to be done and healing that needs to happen in them. It's complex and it's nuanced, and they deserve the best that we can give them to be rehabilitated and, you know, to learn to become productive members of society. And the cost of not getting them care is so high, because when a person is broken down and used in this kind of way, it's so destructive and debilitating that people tend to stay in it. And so even if you, you know, let's say you're talking to an adult prostitute, and now it's really a hot button issue because there are a lot of people working to legalize prostitution. I do believe it will become legalized in this country. Even our Vice President Kamala Harris has come out in favor of legalization. And there are people that say, well, it's a victimless crime. And so many opinions on all sides of the issue that are out there. So you can even have an adult who says, hey, I'm doing this of my own volition, you know, I'm a sex worker, I'm proud of what I do, I love what I do. But if you peel back the layers, peel back the onion a little bit, especially for people who are in typical prostitution, mm-hmm. There's usually a case of abuse as a child or of being trafficked as a child, even if someone says that they're doing it willingly and that, you know, they enjoy what they're doing. So,
which is classified now as CSEC, which is like child sexual exploitation. Wait,
CSEC? Commercial. Yeah, you're right. Commercial sexual exploitation of children.
Of children. And yeah.
So, yes. And that is, that's against the law in all cases. You know, you cannot sell a child for sex. So, and then the laws differ from state to state, whether adults can, you know, can sell themselves for sex. So,
do all the children who are coming to the shelter, their parents? So could you explain a little bit about how New Day acts as an agent to come alongside the families?
Yes. Yeah, so what we saw was that there is a need for not just Band-Aid approaches, but we appreciate anything that anyone is doing to help this population. So drop-in centers are great, you know, mentoring services, tutoring, all those kinds of things. They're all needed and they're all great. But unfortunately, what so often happens is kids will hear about, you know, an organization or a group, let's say in their city, and they're lucky if there's even anything there. It's usually in the larger, you know, metropolitan areas where there are services for trafficked kids. But there's a real revolving door problem. And a kid may come in, you know, once or twice, or maybe even for a 6-month period, but then they'll just fall off the radar and disappear. And, you know, and that organization will have them on their records as a client, but they don't know where, you know, where they are or what's become of them. And these kids are like slippery fish. So they tend to stay in the life. And so we just really saw that there was a need for breaking that cycle and trying to help give kids who've been victimized in this way a better shot of getting out of it. And so that we do that through restorative programs where they can go. And so we look for New Day partners with residential programs that are like little boarding school type of setup usually. And we get kids referred to us. We have a large network. And so we've over the years just gotten to know people in many walks of life, and our partner programs, also, and so we, you know, it's a mutual back and forth kind of relationship where when a child is identified, we currently have programs that we partner with. There's a few in Texas and one in Louisiana, one in Colorado, one in California. Those are the ones that we currently partner with.
That's awesome.
Most of them, it's like 6 to 8 beds, you know, so there's smallish side. Some of them are larger. All of the programs that we currently partner with don't have time limits for the kids. It's not like, okay, you can be here for 4 months or for six months.
That's so good.
It's however long that they need, you know, to do the work, however long they want to be there. And also, the kids need, we don't take any kids against their will. We don't work with lockdown programs. And there are very few like that anyway. There are very few programs at all for minors in this country. Most of the residential place options for people in America are for adults. Once you're 18, you have a lot of options. When you're a kid, and this happens to you, there are very few. And so that was one of the things that we found as we were investigating and getting started. You know, what is it that we want to do? That in this country, there, even though the problem is not as bad here in the United States as, say, India or Brazil or Cambodia. In those places, the need has been known for a long, long time. And so there are many, many residential programs for to help kids overseas. Mm. Not enough when you consider the ocean of need, but still more. So a case could be made that American kids are among the least cared for, because for the longest time, we had this attitude that this is an over there kind of problem, that these things didn't happen in our country. And we still run into that people view child sex trafficking, if they even believe it, if they know about it at all, they think it's an, you know, developing nation kind of an issue. And meanwhile, it's happening all around, from coast to coast in this country. It's happening in affluent areas. It's happening in poor areas, small towns, suburbs, rural areas, as well as inner city. It just looks different depending on the context, on the locale. So, you know, I lived in Oakland for over 20 years. It looks very different in Oakland than it would look, let's see, in a really nice suburb of Chicago, you know, out in the burbs, you know, affluent areas, the Hamptons, but it still happens in those places. Mm-hmm. So there was a recent little project that was done in Napa Valley in California, which is, you know, the wine country, very affluent hotels, inns, bed and breakfast, quaint little, you know, towns. And so people were thinking, well, this doesn't happen here. Nothing like this happens in Napa. Well, they did this little project where they put out feelers of calls of kids being available and just how quickly they got the hits from all over Napa. And so the way it looks in Napa is that people are brought, it may not be people who live in Yountville or who live in Napa or Calistoga, but then kids are brought in to service people. Kids are brought to hotels. They might be brought to a high-end hotel and be holed up there for 2 or 3 days. That was, you know, that was an eye-opener, because they didn't expect, you know, that kind of outcome from an area like Napa that's so pristine and beautiful.
Was it the police who did the the test, or who did that?
I'm forgetting. I heard this anecdotally at an event that I was at, and I'm forgetting who put it together. But just to go to show that it happens everywhere, and we've had kids. We've worked now with over 130 girls in these 14 years, and the storylines. It's happened every which way. It's happened in very exclusive, you know, penthouse suites, Las Vegas, you know, high rolling, glamorous, to where some of our girls felt like they were living a real glamorous life, you know, for a while. It's happened like that, and it happens that people are taken out to service field workers. People are sold in 15-minute increments at very low price points, like $30, so that it's accessible to anybody. So when you look at the buyers, the people who are involved, who are mostly men, it's mostly men who buy people for sex worldwide. However, a lot of women are in on the recruiting, kidnapping, and making profiting off of people. So I always want to make sure that people don't frame this as an evil male versus, you know, exploited female thing, because lots and lots of women do horrible things in this. In fact, our first child that we ever cared for, she was a little California foster child. She was walking to school, so she'd already had the trauma of her mother burning her with a hot iron when she was a little girl. So she was, removed from her mother's care, put into foster care. She's 10, walking to school. And that was just a classic kidnap, snatch and grab off the street, drugged. And she was taken down to Mexico, south of the border.
Wow.
So, we always think of people being brought into our country from other places. People are also, the movement happens all directions. So she was actually sold to a female brothel owner in Mexico. And this, her victimization and abuse was one of the most horrific of all the kids that we've ever worked with. And she was our first little girl. Wow. She came when she was 14. So she was rescued by the FBI. Someone tipped them off that there was an American child being held in this brothel. But just to say that that was a woman and one of the cruelest perpetrators, that any of our kids were ever, had to suffer under. So it happens always. And it's also so important to not just define it as women and girls, because boys are routinely and increasingly part of this picture also. And it often looks different for boys than for girls. Boys in general tend to get into it even younger than girls. And a lot of them, it's like the movie, Sound of Freedom, mm-hmm. that was shown. That was so controversial, and there were so many people saying terrible things about that movie. And, it's conspiracy theories, and this isn't how it looks. Well, it's how it looked for those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, it really made me angry, because that movie had so many good touchstones, and mm-hmm. it was the story of the kids that it was about. It wasn't about, the heroics of the adults who saved them. It really opened a lot of people's eyes to the reality, of this situation. And yes, it doesn't look like that for everybody, but that's how it looked in those cases. And I liked that it started off with the trafficking, the victimization of a little boy, mm-hmm. showing that it does happen to boys. And then they busted the guy in California, mm-hmm. who had all of the, the library of videos of little mm-hmm. boys and children being raped. And mm-hmm. so that's often, how it happens with boys, is it's mm-hmm. filmed, it's put out there, people are
buying them for the weekend.
This on the internet, online. And so unfortunately, our technology has just made, it's like the Pandora's box. It's made the victimization of people, human beings, in so many ways, mm-hmm. Easily accessible and easy to disseminate. Mm-hmm. And so it's just caused the whole thing to explode on a global scale, unfortunately.
I really enjoyed that movie for the fact that it does move you, and it's shocking. Like, even if you know about human trafficking, when you see the children's faces, how young they are, and that there's no limits to the pervertedness of everything that's happening. I really like that the movie highlighted pedophiles, because they are just, because it's, It was like the mixture. There was hope there, right? That there mm-hmm. are good people fighting, to actually rescue these children. To even in the anti-trafficking field, I think it's encouraging to see that too, because you realize, because we do hear about the corruption with law enforcement, or the in other countries, or even here. With the corruption of the government, and so when you have government officials and I think they had a lawyer too, but just different organizations working together. You saw like the island rescue of like, I think it was like 50 kids or 100. Right. So yes. I love seeing that there was a lot of good amongst like the evil takedown of the pedophiles, the traffickers, and the just how they're so business orientated that they, you know, the traffickers, that they don't have any humanity left. You know, they're doing things to children that is, you know, unspeakable, but all they see is the outcome is the money, and like, we're going to be rich. And, you know, so I love that they highlighted that, because it makes the issue more clear, especially during this time. As a side note, that not sure if you have seen it, but in recent news, I think in the last year or so, there's a group of people trying to rename the word pedophile to
finger attracted person.
Yes.
Attracted individuals. It's just horrible. And yes, we are on such a slippery slope. So yeah, that film, it highlighted so many things. It showed the ease of transporting, you know, because here that little boy started off in a Central American country and then, you know, put in a container, shipped, I think it was to Colombia. Mm-hmm. And the American man there bought him and took him back up to Tijuana, and then was driving him into California. And so it just shows, you know, the ease. The ease of doing that with our cell phones and, you know, the instant availability. And so, you know, Kevin Bales is a researcher on human trafficking. And he says that, you know, there are more people in actual slavery today than in all the centuries of the transatlantic slave trade put together. And that it's just so facilitated in our modern era. Our technology can be used for great good. Here we are, you know, having this wonderful discussion together. Yes. And it can be used for great evil. And we really need to recognize, you know, and having conversations intergenerationally with our kids, having conversations about pornography and just how that is part and parcel, you know, linked to this, because you don't know, there are people who are trafficked into porn, and you know, you don't know if that person is being threatened or their family's being threatened if they don't, you know, perform and do what they're supposed to do. And
there was a huge, I know in the last couple of years, I think 4 or 5 years ago, there was Pornhub was being sued because there was like a group of women who had been trafficked on there, or had their, you know, there was their explicit videos of them that Pornhub never took down, even though they told them, the victims told them that it was there's no consent there. And so it was like this huge, you know, it was a great victory for anti-trafficking field. but I'm not 100% sure all the details of, I think, the legal changes that came from that, but it was a really great takedown. I think it was Pornhub and another one. But the CEOs had to take accountability. And I think they were being prosecuted also because they dismissed the all the complaints and they dismissed the concerns. So a lot of the women who had their videos on there without having given any consent, a lot of them were just explaining how, you know, they were constantly, that was like a big, they couldn't move on with their life because that was there, you know? So,
But, and the violence depicted in porn, the things that are normalized, you know, doing porn with, even if the actor is an adult, you know, making them look very young, finding actors who appear to be, you know, very childlike in appearance. And then, you know, there's a thing of this, you know, for a while something is titillating and then people want more and more and more and more, you know, to find that same kind of arousal. And then often then that, when they do interviews of people who are caught in stings and who do things to children, you know, porn is always part of the story. And so then also just, you know, back to all the different types of technology we have, things that aren't porn, just our social media and our kids having access to so much, almost all of the kids that we have worked with, their social media and their cell phones have played a huge part in their victimization.
Could you say that again for the parents?
Yes, for parents. Oh gosh, I'm always encouraging parents, please don't allow your children to have smartphones before high school.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week here on the Galvanize and Restore podcast. You have been listening to Kathy Wilson from New Day for Children, an amazing organization working here in the United States to facilitate the restorative care of children who have been adversely affected by modern day slavery, also known as human trafficking. If you are interested in perhaps mentoring a child during their process of healing and helping them with schoolwork, A New Day for Children has openings for this. There are some paid positions, and you do have to meet certain qualifications. So please get in contact with A New Day for Children if you would like to hear more. And that website is newdayforchildren.com. Thank you again for listening. Please share this episode with someone if you believe it was helpful for you. Also, don't forget to leave a positive review wherever you are listening. It helps for others to find this podcast as well. Connect with me also over at the Instagram at Gal Restore, which is GalResTore. Hope you enjoyed this episode and see you later.